preparing us for that time, about going to heaven. This morning I want to talk about, continue about belief, what we believe. We believe, amen? We believe in Jesus. I believe in heaven. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Give you a second to go there. First Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." Look at that. "Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his or his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, but like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner or matter." "But because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." I want to preach with this thought this morning, with "I believe." That I believe in living a sanctified life. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Father, we approach you and we thank you, God. Lord, we are looking forward to Beulah Land. We are looking forward to being with you. But Lord, we're also looking forward to the things which you have before us here in the near future. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would anoint me, that you anoint my thoughts, my actions, God. That I would deliver what you want to be said today. That God, you would help me to speak and help me, oh God, to deliver what thus saith the Lord. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint me and touch me, God. Lord God, touch us all to hear what you have for us. And Lord, we give you the praise and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Think about this. I believe in living a sanctified life. When we think about sanctification, a lot of times it gets skewed. And again, just to kind of remind you what we're going through, you know, each month we're focusing on something that we believe in. You know, going through the Declaration of Faith. But before I get into that, I want to share this same passage in another translation. I always like looking sometimes at other translations because just how the wording, it doesn't take away or add to, but it just gives you different perspective. Look at this from the New Living. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to just pick up verse 3. But this is the same passage I just read in the New King James, now in the New Living. But look at this in verse 3. He said, "God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives us his Holy Spirit to you." Now focus on that. God's will is for you to be holy. I put these in bold. God's will is for you to be holy, but also God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. And just the kind of, okay, we believe in sanctification. We believe in that. And even our teachings talk about this. And it says we believe in sanctification. Subsequent to a new birth through the faith of in the blood of Jesus Christ, through the word, and by the Holy Ghost. And there's the scripture. That's Article 6 of the Declaration of Faith. But let's talk about for a minute sanctification. What does sanctification mean? What does it entail? We talk about living sanctified, and I remember even as a child growing up hearing people when they would testify, and some still do this today, but you don't hear it as much, that I thank the Lord that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people will say, what does sanctified? I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And we look at this as a distinct and separate thing, an encounter that happens in the believer's life. What is sanctification? Because, you know, and we look at this, it involves both being separated from sin and separated to God. You know, a lot of times we say, well, sanctification means being separated from the world. And one translation I've seen, it says, separated, I like this, separated for sacred use. And we look at sanctification being separated from the world, that we're no longer part of the world anymore, that we have separated ourselves from the worldly things, the worldly desires, the worldly lusts, the sins of the world. And that's great. We need to be separate. Be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And we understand about being separate. But sanctification also involves being holy. And being holy involves holy living. Righteous living. We're called to be righteous. We're called to be holy. We're called to be men and women of God. If we are men and women of God, then God is holy. Then we need to be holy men and women of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Sanctification involves the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and a life filled and that is lived in holiness. But none of this is obtainable unless we have the help of God Almighty. We can't live holy lives by ourselves, but we must be willing to follow Him and pursue holiness. Sometimes people think they can be holy all by themselves, and you can't. Hello? It involves some things. It involves God doing His part, but it also involves us doing our part. Let me first talk about, I want to talk about these four things. The blood of Jesus. Well, I've talked about the blood, some months ago. Spent several weeks talking about the blood of Jesus, and we need the blood. The blood provides a forgiveness of sin, but also it provides a cleansing for us. That's the beauty of the blood. But, you know, he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood is necessary. We can't live without the blood of Jesus, because it not only forgives, it cleanses. And that's a key thing. We talk about the blood in the forgiveness aspect, but we forget about the cleansing aspect that the blood brings. That it cleanses us. And we know you get a blood stain in clothes, it stains. You got to be a miracle worker or work hard to get blood stains out. Sherry's done a lot of that. Mamas have done a lot of that. But the blood also separates us from the world. Now, this is something I think is very interesting. His sinless blood versus the sinful blood. Now, think about this. All of us have blood running through our veins, right? Some are type A, some are type B, some are type O, AB plus, or AB, AB negative, or O negative, B negative, whatever. There's different blood types. And you can't cross, you can't put B into an A person, or A into a B person. Now, O is a universal, but you can't put the negative into a positive. Now, while I don't understand all that, I understand some. I've done some study on the blood. But I understand, you know, you cannot cross the blood. But here's the thing about the blood of Jesus. A, we have the blood of humans with their various types. But then we have the blood of Jesus that can match any. But the blood of Jesus, here's the thing. If we're talking about sanctification through the blood of Jesus that separates us, well, the blood of Jesus separates us from the world simply because we have the blood applied to our life. One of the steps about sanctification is we have the blood applied to our life. And that alone separates us from the rest of the world. It's not saying we're better than. Holiness is not us getting up and saying, well, bless God, look at me, I'm better than you because I am saved and sanctified. No, it has nothing to do. When we feel like we're better than other people just because we're saved, we have lost the whole point and essence what Jesus came to do. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. We've got to understand the blood of Jesus calls us to serve us. It calls us to reach the world. It calls us to help them know Jesus like we do. But yes, it separates us. The only way into God's presence is by the blood of Jesus. We're separated by our blood type. And that blood type is Jesus. Amen. Oh, I love that. What's your blood type? Jesus. Come on now. When we realize that and understand that, that helps us go a long way in our walk with God. That I'm walking with new blood. I'm not just have a new life. I'm just not a new creature. But I have a new blood flowing through my veins. It is the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. But then we have the Word of God. We're sanctified by the Word. The Word speaks to our purpose. Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we understand that the word not only helps us, it sanctifies us. Why? Because it is truth. The Word is alive. This is a living, breathing book. Why? Because it holds the Word of God to us. People say, I wish God would just speak to me. He is. Just open up the book and hear what He's got to say to you. The Word will come alive and accomplish in us what God wants it to do. It will challenge us. It will change us. It will transform us. It will confirm in us. And it will expose things in our life that needs to get out. People don't like the truth sometimes. Some people say, well, the truth hurts. Listen, I'd rather have one thing my dad and I one thing I love about my father, and many of you met him, but one thing I did love about my father, and I didn't like it when I was growing up, but now as an adult, I appreciate this. What the cardinal sin with my father was lying. That was the cardinal sin. That was the one thing, I mean, I knew. I mean, I can do a lot of things. I'd get punished, but the number one punishment would be if he caught me lying. I would get punished worse. And he told me, I hate liars. But he also instilled with me about being a man of your word. That's what his father taught him. That's what he taught me. And hopefully that's what, you know, and, you know, I pass on to my son. Be a man of your word. Amen. Your word is your bond. Yes. You know, and that's one thing I've learned and I've come to grow and appreciate. I hate liars. And I told all my kids, don't you ever lie to me. Because if I find out you lie, the punishment gets turned up 10 times. Mm-hmm. And in this world that we live in today, you turn on the TV, you hear lie after lie. Come on now. Oh, just because the media says it don't mean it's true. We're told to follow the science. Well, this one says one thing and this one says another. We don't know what to believe. We're hearing lie after lie after lie to where we just throw up our hands and we don't know what to believe anymore. Well, let me tell you something that you can believe in, and that's this right here. He said, my word is truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't pass away. That's one thing we can stand on. This is one thing we can take to the bank and realize he will not lie to us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He won't give up on us. He wants us to live by truth. And that truth is what's going to separate us from the rest of the world. We're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to speak the truth no matter what happens. We're going to stand for truth. And we're going to believe in truth. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me share a story with you. Maybe this will help put it in perspective. A little story that is told that many years ago, wealthy businessman went to England. And this is years ago because of what I'm about to share is going to kind of point to it. But this wealthy businessman was fascinated by a powerful microscope. Looking through its lens, he studied crystals and the petals of flowers and all the intricate details that came along from looking through that powerful lens. He was amazed at the beauty and the detail that he could see. And he decided to purchase this microscope and take it back home with him. And he thoroughly enjoyed it, looking through its lens and seeing things that he had never seen before. Until one day he came and examined some food that he was planning to eat for dinner. Much to his dismay, he discovered that that tiny living creatures were crawling in it. Since he was especially fond of this particular food, he wondered what to do. Finally, he concluded that there was only one way out of this dilemma. He would destroy the instrument that caused him to discover the distasteful fact. So he destroyed the microscope and smashed it into pieces. And we look at that and we hear that story and we think, oh, well, you know, they're just silly. Here's a microscope. And many times people don't like it because of what they see through it. And so rather than making changes from what is discovered, we destroy the instrument from which we see the problems. Many times we do the same thing with the Word of God. We would get rid of it because it reveals our sins. Hello? It reveals unto us stuff that we've got to deal with. So we destroy it, or we don't read it, or we just put it on the shelf somewhere and leave it there so that it don't mess with us anymore. I believe that's why a lot of people don't read their Bibles much, because they're afraid of what it will reveal. You know, we've seen in our nation over the last several years the Ten Commandments being taken down off of the walls of civic and government places. Anywhere there was a Ten Commandments, they were wanting to yank it out. Why? Because that revealed sin. Amen. Well, if we take it down, out of sight, out of mind, to where even Christians today that call themselves Christians have removed these documents off of their life, because they don't want it to reveal anything in them anymore. To where we have more of a humanistic approach to the gospel, that if it feels good to me, then I will do it. That's why we have what we have today in our society. That's why we have homosexual churches today. That's why we have gay, openly gay ministers in some churches in our nation and in our world today. Because the very thing that they are supposed to called to preach, they have discarded and compromised the word. You say, well, that's just them. Well, there's other things people do. Gossip, lie, cheat. Come on now. People think it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. Hello. What does the Bible say about that? Wrong. Come on, let's talk plain. Let's tell it like it is. So many times we have gotten so, you know, so blinded. Oh, we don't want to talk about that stuff. You know, Pastor, I remember a day when people wouldn't talk about sex in church. And you know what happened? They were talking about it outside church, and people were running to it. That's why we had the 70s. Anybody remember the 70s? The free sex era? Come on now. Oh, we can't talk about that. Well, we better start talking about this stuff. Well, the Bible's a bunch of do's and don'ts. No, it's not. The Bible's about how to live before God, how to get to heaven, how to please God, how to have a life and have it more abundantly. And part of that is abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from these things. That homosexuality is a sin. Gossip is a sin. Lying and cheating on your brother or your sister is a sin. These things will separate you from God. But you don't have to live in this, because he gives us a process to get to God, to live with God, to enjoy the life with him. And that involves sanctification. I don't want to do those things no more. I don't have a desire to go back. Why? Because I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I have tasted his salvation. I have tasted his presence. I have been in his presence, and I have encountered his glory. And that alone, I don't want to go back to this because of what I've got here. People keep going back because they've never tasted and they've never pushed enough or tarried enough. There's an old term. Tarried enough in God's presence to get to a place in God. That's why this next is so important. And that is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our life, church. We believe. That's a few months down the road. But we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in that. Amen? Amen. Christians are not sanctified because they are good or better than others, but because God has chosen them. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you." God chose us. We're chosen by God. Every one of us. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. Well, thank God the Spirit chose us. God chose us to come and to be one of his own. Think about that. I'm chosen. I'm chosen to be part of the kingdom of God. I'm chosen to be part of the heavenly family. I'm chosen to be one of his. I'm chosen to be a king's kid. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. But we must cooperate with the Spirit in that process. We can talk about the Spirit. He guides, he convicts, he exhorts, he helps us. But we've got to be willing to obey the Spirit. There's that word, that four-letter word, obey. Pastor cussing in church, saying the obey word. Being set apart helps others see what God is doing in our life. Being set apart allows God to be seen and heard. Now, here's the thing, and I want to just take a second. Caleb's not in here, is he? Man, that boy runs all over the place. Jeff, come here. And borrow you. Joey, borrow you. Come here, Jim. I'm borrowing you too. Come here, just stand right here. Just face them. Just stand in a group. Stand close together. Y'all took showers, right? Now think about this for a minute, okay? Here is the group. Here is the world. Here is just everything. But we're called to be what? Separated. Now think about this, okay? Jim, come over here for a minute. You're going to be separated. You're the separated one. Now, turn face up. Guys, turn face the wall. Now, if he is separated, but he seems like he feels behind, he feels left out, left behind. The world's going, and think about it, this is how many Christians feel. The world's going on and doing their thing, and I'm being left behind. I've been separated to God. Why do I feel left behind? And a lot of Christians feel this way. But then as we have another position, go ahead and face the crowd, guys. Go ahead and face the crowd. Now, sometimes we feel, okay, I've come out. And this is what a lot of people feel today. That I come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. And I don't touch the unclean thing. You feel separated, but you still feel distant. And not included. Right? Think about this. They're going, they're laughing it up, they're having a good time, they're doing their thing. But here's the thing. We have looked at sanctification, we have looked at being separated from the world in these two ways. But I really don't believe that's what God wants us to be. No. Not from, look at it from that we've been left behind or we've been left out. But let's look at it from another perspective. Face that wall. Guys, face that wall. Now look at this point. When we look that God has called us to be separate, it's not that we feel left behind or that we feel left out, but rather that we've been called to lead. Think about this. When God wants you to be separate, He wants you to be separated from the world so that the world can see what God is doing in your life. That God is blessing you. That you're walking a blessed life. They will see that you're facing the same storms that they are. But God is helping you cope with those situations. They see a difference between them and you. So many times we want, and this is the thing that really irks me. Because we feel like we got to be amongst the crowd. So that we just, well, I can't win them to Jesus if I'm not with them. Y'all heard that before? I gotta be with them. I gotta look like them. I gotta act like them. These are my homies. My posse, whatever you want to call them. My peeps. My amigos. Mi amigos. Mi hombres. I can go on and on anyway. But here's the thing. If I look like them, and I sound like them, and I'm one of them, I'm not separate. How can God tell the difference between me and them? Oh, He knows my heart. He knows you're compromised. And to all these, and listen, I see people do this all the time. I see ministers do this. And I want to say, you are 100% wrong. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand the youth of the day. Really? No, I'm not their age anymore. But I have seen enough over my years to understand some things. They won't respect you. This is just like parents. Parents want to hang out and be their, they're and their kids, be best buddies while they're teenagers. Listen, you're not called to be their friend, you're called to be their parent. It's called parenting. You can't parent like this, you got to parent like this. And the whole purpose of God separating you from the rest of the world so that they can see you. It's called leading. It's called leadership. We've all been called to lead people to Jesus Christ. We've all been called to lead them to the cross. And how can we lead them to the cross if they can't see where we're going? That's why, we look at sanctification, it's all about the clothes and we got to look the part. No, it's about being a leader and being one that's willing to step out from among them and say, this is the way we need to go. This is the way we need to live. This is the right way and not the wrong way. Thank you, guys. This is what sanctification is about, coming out from them. Now, some will talk about sanctification, and I'm going to take this bull on by the horns because a lot of people talk about sanctification. Well, is sanctification an instantaneous thing, or is it progressive? Now, for some, they may not have any clue what I'm talking about. But this has been a debate by many. And I will tell you, it's both. It's both. Brother Joey, when I got saved, there's some things I didn't want to do anymore. But I know that I'm still a human being. There's still things he's working on me. You remember that song years ago? He's still working on me. Y'all know it because you sang it because you've been there. He's still working on you too. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how close to God you think you are. He's still working on you. As long as there's, human blood flowing through this body, he's still working on us. Yes, there's things when we get saved, there's things that God just touches us and we don't have desire to go back and do anymore. But sanctification is also a process. Because in this process, that's that last point, he's conforming us into his image and into his likeness. You remember that song, To Be Like Jesus? That's all I ask, is to be like him. All of us should desire to be like him. Well, how many is ready to wash the feet of the person that's going to stab you in the back? Come on now. Yeah, we'll wash their feet while we do some other things, right? Maybe. But Jesus washed the feet of Judas, knowing Judas will sell him out just a short time later. That's when you know you're sanctified. Come on now. But here, all these things is to help us. Listen, sanctification is not just something I put on. Well, I'm going outside today. I'll put my sanctification on. I'm going to Walmart. I'm really going to sanctify up. I'm going to the store. I'm going to go face the public. Or I'm going to go driving. I need to really put that good coat of sanctification. No, sanctification ain't something you put on. It's about having a lifestyle. A life of sanctification. Or I want to say a life of holiness. Because sanctification has to do with our heart. Has to do with who we are. How we live. Having the right motives. Having that integrity to live like God wants us to live. To be, here's a word, Christ-like. and live it daily. Remember years ago the saying, the WWJD? Yeah. What would Jesus do? And that's to remind us, what would Jesus do? I love the part somebody came out later on and say, well, Jesus turned over a few tables every, you know, once before. You know, it's not above. When it's called upon, yeah, turn some tables over. But genuine sanctification is being genuine Christ-like. And being Christ-like is something we must wear, or excuse me, we must live daily. Now, I want to throw this up. This is just thought, okay? I like thinking sometimes. A gentleman by the name of Charles, I ran across this, and this is worth kind of throwing up. John Charles Riley, if I got the name right, he writes this, 12 characteristics of a sanctified person. I'm just about done. Number one, I'm just going to read through these real quickly. Holiness is the habit of being one mind with God. Okay. Shun every known sin and keep every commandment. Okay. Strive to be like Jesus. Yep. Keep the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. You know, meekness, long-suffering, goodness, patience, gentleness. Yeah. Temperance. Yeah. I'd say that's true. Number five, a holy person will follow after temperance and self-denial. Yeah. Number six, a holy person will follow after charity and brotherly kindness. We got to have charity and kindness, yeah. Number seven, a holy person will follow after a spirit of mercy and benevolence. Yeah. A holy person will follow after purity of heart. We got to have pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, right? Number nine, a holy person will follow after a reverent fear of God. We got to have a reverent fear. Amen. Not, we don't have to fear God. We have to have, it's called, that fear is reverence. Reverent, that's why I put reverent fear. Number 10. A holy person will follow after humility. A holy person will follow after faithfulness in all the duties and relationships in life. And then number 12, a holy person will follow after spiritual mindedness. To commune with God in prayer, in the word, gathering with people. And these things will be what we see in a holy person's life. I believe that's true. I think that those are things we need to kind of look at in our own life. Am I following these things? Am I pursuing these things? God is calling us to them, but are we pursuing them? It's up to us. Ephesians 4. Let me throw this out. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. One of my favorite passages in all Scripture. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Number 12, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14. That we shall no longer be children. We're not called to be kids no more. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Into the head, who is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by whichever joint supplies, according, look at this, the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body of Christ. Now think about this. All right, keep this in mind. Because what's going to happen is, Through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, through the Word, we're going to mature. Hello? You're going to mature. You're going to grow up. more in Christ. I get so bothered when people say, I've been serving God for 30 years, but they're still fighting the same thing they did 30 years ago. Listen, I'm not trying to sound mean. I'm not trying to be mean or feel like you feel like pastor's beating you up. But let me just say something. If you're still fighting some things you were fighting 30 years ago, it's time to grow up. That's good preaching. We don't need to be fighting the same things we did 30 years ago. We don't need to be fighting the same things we fought 20 years ago or 10 years ago or even last year. Come on, somebody. But God is wanting us to grow up and mature and go forward. Because why? Because there's bigger giants out there that he's trying to prepare us for. There's bigger battles he's trying to equip us for. But if I'm still walking around like a kid, then I'm going to get destroyed. That's why people come to, Pastor, I can't make it. I can't help it. How big is your God? Yes. No, you can't do it. But in him, I can do all things. Come on, somebody. We got to realize who we serve. I serve a big God. I serve a God that there is nothing impossible for him. I may not be able to do it by myself, but in him I can. Yes, there's things that's going to knock you down. Yes, there's things that's going to overwhelm you. Yes, there's going to be things that come out of nowhere and blindside you. But listen, it will knock you down, but it's not there to keep you down. It's time for you to get up like a big boy or a big girl and say, I'm going to get up and keep on going. Yes, this took me by surprise. Yes, this shook my world. But I know I'm not looking to the problem. I'm looking to my God, who is bigger than this problem. We got so many childish Christians running around. That's why the world is laughing at the church. Because they see a lot of babies who call themselves powerful, who can't get into the presence of God lest they got a full worship band behind them. Come on now. Listen, church. There are going to be times you ain't got a support group. Then where are you going to stand? There are going to be times you ain't got people around you. You can't get a hold of the pastor, or you can't get a hold of somebody from the church to help you pray. What are you going to do then? What I just read talks about being not being children, but growing up and doing our part. Now, I get it. Not everybody matures the same way. Not everybody grows up the same way. 1 Corinthians says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I acted like a child. I understood as a child. Y'all know that? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What are you playing with now? What are you thinking now? How are you preparing for your future? Church, this is the thing. Come on up, team. I want you to think about this. Keep it right there, Jody. Look at that last part. Or the third bullet point. Mature Christians are grown-ups that act grown up. Mature Christians are grown-ups that act grown up. A mature Christian does not look at the obstacles, but rather at God. What are you looking at? We've been talking about this, a little bit of this on Wednesday night, some things that are, we've been talking at Revelations. We've been looking at Well, we just got done this past Wednesday looking at the seals, or two Wednesdays ago, we opened up the first six seals, and we're kind of getting into the seventh seal. And there's a lot of devastation that's coming. And we can look at it and say, man, this is bad, this is terrible, that's coming. But I want to get us, our eyes looking at right now. There's a lot of devastation going on right now. There's a lot of hurt going on right now. There's a lot of sexual immorality going on right now. Here's one thing that we talk about a little bit, but we talk about it for a moment and then we forget about this. And lately, more and more, God is bringing me back to something about this. And that is, what are we doing and how are we treating our children? Think about that. You say, well, I raised my kids. I raised my kids too, but I'm still raising my kids. They may be, all of them are over 21. Our youngest turns 22 tomorrow. Yeah, I'm feeling old. But I'm still telling them my opinion. Oh, they ask for my advice sometimes. They ask for my opinion. Other times, I just freely give it to them. It's my right. As a father, it's my right. But also as a father, it's my responsibility to tell them. Oh, I remember. Yeah, and I listen. My dad, yeah, he still gives it to me. I still ask him. I still bounce things off him. Why? Well, he's got a few more laps around the barn than I do. He's got some wisdom. And that's what I'm trying to pass on to mine. But I'm not just talking about our kids. I'm talking about how we treat the kids of our community, the children of our world. You remember a song we used to sing as kids? Jesus loves the little children. Remember that? All the children of the world. We sang that, you know, as kids. Sunday school or children's church, we sang that, we learned that. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He says in his word, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Children are at the heart of God, just as missions are. You see the two? Children are involved in the mission. Testament. Read, and when you get into studying some of the things of these, what we call pagan religions and pagan group ways, the pagan worship, a lot of that involved child sacrifice. And we look at that, oh, that was awful, that was bad, but that was then. No. Child sacrifice is still going on today. We have just changed the narrative. Abortion. People call it a choice. But let's speak truth, right? We're speaking truth. Church, abortion is child sacrifice. I don't care how you want to look at it. I'm here to speak truth today. We look at it as a medical procedure, but I can go on that subject too. But I don't have time for that. But look at abortion not as just a medical procedure, as somebody's choice. It's child sacrifice. We like to cover that up and not talk about that, because what that does, when we start looking at it from that perspective, then we look like, well, the church has really fell down on the job. But let's not stop there. Video I showed you earlier, it touched on it. And many of us just probably let it go right by, one ear and out the other, not think about it. But human trafficking. Oh, that happens in Africa. No, it don't. It happens all over the world. It happens closer to than what you think it does. How many members years ago on the milk cartons, we used to see these kids' faces on there. Have you seen my child? They're missing. Many years ago, and this is almost 30 years ago, Sherry and I were in California. In the area we lived in, we were youth pastors at a town, Chico, California. The police chief called the churches and told the churches, be careful letting your children go out. This is 30 years ago, okay? About 30 years. Be careful letting kids go out, because the church of Satan, it's got out that they're looking for blonde hair, blue eyed children that they're going to snatch up. For their sacrifice. I can go on and on. I can go deeper than this. I'm going to go a little deeper, then I'm not going to, and I'm going to stop. But I want you to realize, why is God separating the church? Why is God calling the church to sanctification? It's to come out from among them and speak the truth. I believe God is very dissatisfied with the majority of churches today, because they go in and they go out and they feel like they've done their good deed for the week, and we pat a cake the Holy Spirit and we leave, but we're not changed or we're not challenged. I'm not saying we gotta go bombard an abortion clinic. I'm saying we gotta get before God and say, God, what can we do to stop this? We're seeing not only abortions, sex trafficking, we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing our children. Being taken from us. And many aren't doing one thing about it. Oh, pastor, I'm not going to abort a baby. I'm not going to let my kid be taken for trafficked. Oh, let me go one more step. Because in the news, they ain't talking about this stuff, church. I'm sorry. You say, well, pastor, just because it's not on Fox News. Listen, the news ain't going to talk about it. God bless the news, but the news isn't the news anymore. It's propaganda. Let's get some faith-based facts again. Oh, pastor, you're losing your mind. No, I'm not. I'm trying to do my part. Look what's happening in schools today. Cancel culture is coming into the school system. What is cancel culture? Look it up. You don't need a mommy and daddy anymore in your home. You can have two mommies. It's okay. If you're a white male, you're racist. Come on now. All these things that we look at, that the Word teaches, they're wanting to cancel everything about it. They're trying to convince kids this is wrong and they're right. Are you hearing me? Well, you might say, well, thank God my kids are out of school. What about your grandkids? Come on now. I mean, I got a granddaughter coming into this world here in a few months, and I can't wait to meet her. But also, I'm praying, God, and I've already talked to her, my granddaughter's parents, and say, how are we educating her? He's already told me we're going to homeschool or get her into a school that will not teach this stuff. The church are trying to brainwash them. Why is God calling us? Why do we talk about sanctification? It's not just about you living a holy life. It's about you leading others. Remember my little example here? You can't lead if you're with them, or if you're behind them, or beside them. Come out from among them means you step forward and you lead them to Jesus. You show them how to live that holy life. Would you stand this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe in living a sanctified life. I believe you're calling us to sanctification again. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as I deliver what you've laid upon my heart, and Lord, I know, Lord, some of this is very heavy, and some of this can be overwhelming, but God, you called us not to do it alone, but you've told us you will be with us every step. You will hold our hand, you will lead us, you will light the path for us, but God, it's up to us to step forward and to take you by the hand and allow you to lead us, to be willing to say, yes, Lord. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, we will accept what you're calling us to. Oh, sweet Spirit of living God, help us. Holy Spirit, speak to every heart, every life here. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to stir our spirits, God, for what is to come. You're preparing us. Father, have your way right now. Church, my altar call is simply this. God is calling you to step forward and lead. He's calling you to step forward and come out from among them and be separate. He's calling you to a life of holiness by the blood of Jesus, by the Word of God, and by the help of the Holy Spirit to live that sanctified life. The question is, will you? We all need help. We all need Him to help us. And I just want to call you forward to these altars right now and say, Lord, help me. Help me, oh God. We've heard the word. Now it's our time to respond to the word. Lord, I accept. Lord, help me to live that sanctified life. Help me, oh God, to not step to the side or behind. But Lord, it's time for me to step forward. Come right now around these altars. If you need special prayer, I want you to come and just stand. And we will pray over you and pray with you. But church, for the rest of us, I want us to come and pray around these altars. Say, God, lead me into that sanctified life. Come on, right now. Come on. This is that simple. He's calling you forward. Step forward. Come out. Lead and let others follow. Lead and let others see God work in your life. Ask yourself, are you growing? Are you maturing? Because if you're not growing, you're not maturing, then you're dying. If you're not growing in God, then you're dying in God. Come on, it's time. God says it's time for you to step forward. It's time for you to come forward and say, Lord, I want to lead others. Help me to live that sanctified life. Help me to live a life of holiness.